Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful. How are you?
We are delightful as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Corey, according to Titan Insider Jeffrey Simmons, it looks like Arden Key is not going to be suspended for six games and will be available for the Titans to begin the season. How big of a deal is this for the Titans, and what do you make of how this whole thing has gone down with Arden Key?
It's pretty funny because when Jeff took the field Saturday and I was on the sideline, and I said, hey, do you want to do this instead because you've got much better information than I do? But no, it was – I mean, look, is Arden Key like, you know, an electric superstar? No, but they're not exactly deep at that position, and, you know, they need him. And, you know, they were already thin, and they were going to be very thin at that spot without him. So it's interesting, and it's got to be a bit of a relief. You know, I heard some people arguing whether, you know, Paul Kaharsky's report was accurate or not, or blah, 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 blah. I'm like, he won his appeal, so he was going to be suspended, okay? So the report was accurate. There would be no appeal if he wasn't going to be punished. So there really shouldn't be, you know, an argument there. Interested to hear, you know, how he won, you know, because that doesn't happen very often. But it's a big relief for the team. They need those snaps from him. You know, they've got some other guys, but not guys that you would call starters yet.
Nah, screw that, man. If Kuharsk can't predict the entire future and every report he writes, then just don't write. Don't write anymore. I don't care. Now, that's really an all-time dumb discussion, actually. But
yeah,
and well, yet, there it was. Yeah. There it was. X. All for X. Us to see on X. Yeah.
Yeah.
X marks the spot.
Yeah.
So you asked a question, Corey, about Braden Narveson, and the answer was pretty quick and pretty clear.
Definitive, yeah.
But, I mean, we've been talking about today, like, my whole thing with Narveson is how consistent is he? I mean, I don't know. Do you have any sense? I don't have any sense.
No,
I haven't watched him at all.
I have no idea. I'm going to tell you two things. I don't watch a lot of special teams at practice, especially – you know, will I watch to see if the ball goes through? Yeah. But it's been mostly Nick Folk that I see at practice, you know. And Nick's pretty automatic. And that's what way I phrased my question. I said, look, Nick's automatic, but 59 is 59. You know, it's like 7 feet. You can't teach 7 feet. It's like 4.2 speed. You can't teach 4.2 speed. And that was 59 good from 65. And I feel like this is a lot like the Ryan Stonehouse situation of a couple of years ago, you know, where you had an aging punter, and all of a sudden you've got this guy unleashing this cannon, and you're like, well, shoot, if we cut him, he's going to be gone. And so, you know, I think the Titans are kind of looking at that again. You know, does that mean Narveson will get picked up by somebody? I don't know that that's automatic. I don't know.
That's my next question. Yeah, it's like, are they safe? I'm sure they'd love to. Because the difference is Stonehouse, we saw it over and over and over again. It was like, that's what he is. He is a boomer. Whereas Narveson kicked a 59-yarder in a preseason game. Awesome. But could they sneak him on the practice squad?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm big. When I do watch the kickers, I'm big into watching the ball rotation. You know, you want guys, you know, where the ball goes end over end every time. Because that's when their flight paths are true, is when they hit it. And so I'd have to watch that to see if he's consistently with that. But, like, he knew it was good as soon as he hit it. I knew it was good as soon as he hit it. And then he had the stones to come out and kick a 45-yarder to win the game. I know it's a preseason game, but he knows what's on the line. It's bigger than a preseason game for that kid. And he came out there and he drilled it. And look, I'm not saying, oh, cut Nick Folk and keep Braden Narveson. I'm just saying, I don't think it's as simple as, oh, yeah, Nick's the kicker. I think you've got to look at it, and you've really got to think about this. Because, you know, I know Nick missed one kick last year, and that is an amazing value. It really, really is. But, you know, if you think he can be your kicker for the next 10 years, then I think then that's a discussion.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and I appreciate always Brian Callahan's honesty. I mean, shocking honesty at times. And, you know, loved, you know, Nick Folk had to love that answer. You know, he's got his back. And Nick hasn't done anything to lose the job. And, you know, I saw somebody posted, you know, that Nick's 52-yarder or whatever got tipped week one. Well, that's because Nick has to kick the ball lower to get it 52 yards. That kid launched it from 59.
Corey, what did you make of Malik Willis and Mason Rudolph on Saturday night?
Well, I mean, Malik has been improved, and I think he was improved. I think he was 12 of 16, right?
Yep.
So he's completing 75% of his passes. Continues, you know, to look more comfortable back there. So, you know, I wouldn't call it an electric performance, but I thought he was solid. I thought he was smart. You know, he didn't make glaring mistakes. He had a couple of misses. I know he missed. Was it Nick? He missed over the middle for a big one.
Yes.
Yeah. Which happens occasionally, but you'd like to see that ball complete. And, you know, I thought Mason looked really under control and confident. And, you know, he put some points on the board. He put the touchdown on the board and then got the game winner. And so I thought Mason didn't do anything to hurt himself.
So Brian Callahan has, you know, explained, Corey, the difference in positions, right, between Burks and NWI.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I still feel like, and I guess I would be a little bit concerned about Treylon Burks' ability to stay healthy, and like you don't want to get him hurt in the preseason. But I still have to take the other night as a little bit of a nod toward Burks as a guy who, one, is probably going to be getting most of those snaps if Hopkins can't go, and as a guy they view as, if you have to order these guys, as wide receiver four, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, with Hopkins out, he's been wide receiver three. So he's been a starter with Hopkins out. And that's what this game came down to with whether they played or not, was, you know, how many snaps they took in those 2 days of practice against the Seahawks, because they got a game's worth of reps in those two games. And they had guys who were pretty beat up and pretty sore. Not to say that the backups weren't beat up and sore as well, but the ones got the bulk of the work. And so, you know, that's why they sat those guys down, was because they'd had all this work. And did Seattle play any starters? I mean, I saw Tyrell Dodson, but I don't know how many starters, you know, they threw out there. And I don't think many people throw many starters out after joint practices. But so for this last week, you know, Burks was a starter. And, you know, NWI is extremely versatile, is extremely valuable. And I don't think him being on the team is a question right now. So if that's part of it, I wouldn't be worried about it.
Corey, is there any concern from your part that the first time it looks like we're going to see their starting three at corner is going to be week one against Chicago? I mean, Snead is basically just not practiced. We know Woozy has been hurt, and he'll be back at some point after the New Orleans game. But is there any concern that that's the first time we're going to see those guys together is week one when the games count?
Well, I mean, I think there's always, you know, there's mystery to it. So, yeah. And am I worried about Woozie and Snead, you know, being good corners? No. But they've all got to communicate together for the first time at game speed. They've all got to work together for the first time at game speed. And, you know, Uzi has missed a lot of practice now. And so, you know, you'd like to see those guys on the practice field. And I don't know if you guys have watched the preseason, the Bears offense looks like they may actually score some points this year.
Oh, that's where I was going next. Oh, you sound hopeful. Like, I hope they're not ready for the greatest player of all time to be, Caleb Williams.
Yeah. The new monsters in the Midway, the other side of the ball. No, look, I mean, we've talked about what the Bears have added, you know, with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. They've got players over there, so it won't be a gimme, you know, week one, you know. And so there are, and you look at their schedule, there's not many. I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks and a lot of good receivers on there.
Yep.
So what I'd like to see, I'd like to see those guys practicing together, all the way leading up to it. Whether I see them in a game or not, I'm not panicking about so much, but I'd like to see them have a couple solid weeks of practice together. Yeah, we're talking about practice.
Amen. We are. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your reaction to what Corey Curtis just had to say. Corey, thanks as always for being with us. You looked great on TV on Saturday night on the sideline, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for being with us.
By the way, Tavondre Swift was tremendous on the sideline.
Yes.
He was fantastic to interview. And I will say, talking to him in person, he looks great. I mean, he's lost weight. I don't know how much, but he's lost a bunch of weight. He looks really, really good.
Incoming breakout performance.
That's good. From good news of the Titans.
Watch
out, Caleb.
Thank you, Corey.
Later.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. He even had the Will Levis interview Saturday night.
How was that?
Brought up the cologne. It was good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. I saw Levis had like his shades on.
Yeah,
stuff,
he did have shades
hat.
On.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Getting after it.
You know, once you start hawking the Mayo cologne, you know.
Style's important.
That's right.
615-737-1025. Your reaction to what Corey Curtis had to say. Your thoughts on the Titans. We'll get back into Arden Key, his availability for week one against the Bears. And we also have a spot to give away upcoming this hour in our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We have five more spots, Joe Rex Road, to give away for our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Jack was our winner last week, so we now have Jack, our defending champion, Corey from Clarksville from last season, Joe Rexroad, Brennan Rexroad, Keezer, myself, and Paul Kuharski in the Robbie and Rexroad Fantasy Football League. Five more spots available to you this week, and we're giving away one of those right now. Now, our text line, quite frankly, a little wonky today. Text disappearing, some showing up from July the 28th.
It's really weird.
We don't really know what's going on with it. So with that in mind, we normally do our trivia question answers via text. We're calling today. The first person to call in and tell Nick Keyser the correct answer to this trivia question will win the next spot in our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
We're going old school.
We've talked a lot about kicker today. A lot of kicking conversation that we've had today. The Tennessee Titans had an unlikely hero in January of 2021 that came in a nice back-and-forth game between the Titans and the Houston Texans. And the Titans won the division for the first time since 2008, thanks to the kick of this man. If you can name the kicker who won the Titans of the division in, I guess technically the 2020 season, but 2021 is when this kick took place against Houston. The first person to call in and correctly guess the answer will win a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. And if you've listened to this show, you better remember this guy's name.
Oh, yeah. It was set up by a Tannehill to A.J. Brown deep shot.
It was.
I think
great
it was
like throw,
first
too.
Down. Yeah, just – right after the,
so, you know, Daniel never made
Watson
plays,
the
but
Texans.
That was a good play.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. No, but maybe the only throw he completed, if I can recall correctly. Well, here.
The lines are loaded already. And Keyser's just letting the phone ring. Just doing whatever. He's just building anticipation. He's just letting the phone ring. What? So you gonna answer the phone? Okay, just check it.
Hi, I don't know if that's right or wrong. Thank you for calling.
What are you doing?
You try to go old school on some stuff, you know. Hey, wait, a couple. So now there's some texts that are showing up, but again, we already called. It's not the text line, guys. It is good to see the text line. Totally okay. So it's back working again. Good to know.
Good to know.
We can, it can function for the rest of the show. Hopefully,
We did have a guess for Adam Vinatieri on the text line, which I can tell you is not correct.
Yes, that's not. Yeah, a lot of people, and I'm sorry for those of you who said I can't call. I'm at work. Billy from Bellevue. You know, that's I.
We'll have the text line. Hopefully back fully operational tomorrow.
Along with...
Got a lot of people calling in right now.
Water that can be consumed. Here's from the tap.
Too. We'll get the winner of this when Keezer finds one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Interesting thoughts from Corey there on the current kicker position with Nick Folk. Sounds like Corey's not shutting the door in terms of the Titans. Maybe needed to take a long, hard look at Braden Arvidsson at the kicking spot if they feel like he can be their kicker for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
We need the Jimmy Wyatt kicking chart.
Look, I think it's I'm with Corey. Like, it's just exactly what's the consistency level, you know? What is the consistency level with Narvison? It would have to be pretty high, you know? It'd have to be pretty high. But I think there is a chance that they could possibly sneak him onto the practice squad. Is this real with Askarov? Is this actually real?
Looks like it. We'll get to that here in just a minute.
Okay. Stuff is happening, folks. Stuff is happening.
Stuff is happening.
Which, by the way, I will real quick on that. Alex Doherty the other night, he's been doing, you know, some Titan stuff, and he had someone on Facebook who was like, I got breaking news for you that it's Askarov is not going to come. And I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, Fred's Facebook.
Broken news.
Just getting after it again. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. How big a deal is it in your mind that Arden Key ready to go and available for game one? Apparently, according to new Titans insider Jeffrey Simmons, has won his appeal as it relates to the 6-game suspension for PEDs.
Well, it's a big deal because it's Harold Landry and then Rashad Weaver or Jalen Harrell, I guess, on the other side. And now you got a guy who has sacked some quarterbacks in this league, you know, who it's good. It's, I think, it got maybe a little overplayed on how big of a deal. Like, oh, my God, huge news. You know, yeah. It's like they'd definitely rather have him than not. The whole thing is weird, too. I'm just starting to wonder if this is a conspiracy between Key and Kuharsk. Just to, you know, like there never was a suspension.
Maybe.
You know? Just creating.
Maybe some behind-the-scenes stuff going on.
Creating fake news, so to speak.
Maybe so.
I'm just kidding. But it is a weird situation. Like, the NFL just never said
just never said
about anything.
Yeah, that's really
seasons
weird.
Seasons about here. But, you know, it's good. It's good for the Titans for sure.
I did enjoy the people, after that all came out, just, like, tagging Kuharsky in tweets. Like, you idiot!
Yeah.
You moron! Can't you see that he's not getting suspended now? How do you feel about your report, you moron?
Is that really what people were saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you are a person who did that, you know that you're the moron, right? You probably don't know, but I'm telling you right now.
As Corey said.
If you're listening, you're the moron.
In order to win the appeal,
yeah,
there has to be something to appeal. So that means that
I love ripping Kuharsky, okay? I'm here for any way that we can get after Kuharsky. But, like, what are we doing here, guys?
Oh, man. That was pretty good stuff on the old Twitter.com the other night.
Do we have a winner?
Do we have a winner?
Nick Keezer? Do we have someone?
Daniel is apparently our winner.
Okay, Daniel.
Who is correctly.
Welcome to the league, Daniel.
Correctly identified Sam Sloman, Titans legend, as the kicker who kicked it through the uprights. And if memory serves me correctly, I think it like went off the upright. But it went in 41-38 for the Titans. They won the division for the first time since 08.
It did, and he celebrated. I think the first text that I saw said Sam Slowman with a W. Would we have counted that?
Sure.
Yeah. But it's pretty funny. So congratulations, Daniel.
Congratulations to Daniel.
Another good question by you.
We will have 4 more spots to give away this week in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. So don't worry. We will get back to the text line tomorrow. We will have things hopefully functional tomorrow on the program.
Drinkable water, readable text.
Yeah, 615-737-1025. Apparently, there is a little bit of breaking news on the Yaroslav Askarov front. We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We have controversy on the text line.
We were mad. Mad at Keyser. What happened in there, Keyser? Dennis says that he had the answer, and that he's not alone. Many people texting, many texts saying they called in. What'd
some
you
of
do
which
to these
we
people?
Can see, some of which we cannot on our text line.
What happened?
Well, if you can text in, sorry about that issue. But if I am on the phones and if I'm working them, and it goes over a certain period of time, and I try to pick up the phone, the line drops because they've been on the line for X amount of time. I don't know how long it is. It's about probably 45 seconds-ish.
Okay.
But when you're on there, you've got to be quick enough. Clearly, I was not. I apologize. There is a little bit of that. But
the more you know.
I will say, you've got four more chances. You got a couple more days. You should be fine.
Don't maybe be mad at Keyser.
Maybe our text line's going to be working tomorrow a little bit more frequent, but that's okay. So
okay,
stick with us.
All right. I think you.
I don't want Keyser making the masses mad. So.
Yeah, I mean, we got some people who are pretty fired up, man. I'm just saying.
It's fantasy football.
First off, don't approach him that, dude. You'll get kicked out of the league.
Yeah,
this is the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. It's
life
deal.
And death, man. Yeah. Come on.
I had a top five finish. I'll be all right.
Oh, did you?
Well, 12 teams in the league, so.
You're in the top 42%. Congrats. Where'd you finish? Who
won
this year?
Not very good.
Coy won it, right?
Coy won. Yeah.
My team was okay, right?
We have had three leagues. The champion the first year was me. The second year was Brennan. And the third year was Coy.
Yeah. Good job.
None of those people are named Joe Rexro.
Yeah, that's true. But was I top five? How many top fives?
You were good.
Yeah, I think I've been pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Jack says, this league is serious. Nick seems cavalier.
Yeah.
It's a great word.
Hanging the phone up, saying it's not a big deal. Fantasy football. Going to have a talk with Nick after the show. No doubt about that.
My goodness.
One person working the phones must be Barry Trotz, though.
Oh look at you. Look at Nick. The transition. Nick trying to get the heat off himself.
Nick taking the heat away from himself.
Hey, thank you, Yaroslav.
We're hitting it to Yaroslav Askarov. Kevin Weeks, of course, of ESPN, putting it out there, some breaking news this morning, that – Askarov apparently has informed the Predators that he's not going to report to Milwaukee, their AHL team, and that he has requested a trade. So, obviously, the Predators signed Juuse Saros to an 8-year deal. We talked in the immediate aftermath of that, the Instagram post that Askarov had sitting on a beat somewhere and just says, things happen for a reason. Things happen for a reason. In distant thought, Yaroslav Askarov. And now, according to Kevin Weeks, he has told the Predators that he's not showing up to Milwaukee and that he wants to be traded. Joe, your thoughts on Yaroslav Askarov's apparent trade request to the Nashville Predators.
How long do we get to Rip Willie?
Well, you can go right now if you want to.
What? So the argument with Willie was, right, like Willie was basically like, yeah, I mean, he'll hang in there and – yeah, you know, then he'll be the apprentice, and it'll all be fine, right?
Yeah.
This is
kind of exhibit.
This is not that. So I don't. You know, this what's going to happen here is there's going to be a lot of people mad at Yaroslav Askarov, right? And obviously, it's not great for Barry Trotz that he's demanding a trade because you know, like for Barry. I mean, I think a move is likely was already likely at some point, right? But you lose leverage when your guy's doing stuff like this, right? But I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked by this. And the reality is I don't know, but I'm assuming Askarov is also considering going to the KHL, right?
I don't know.
But I mean that is an alternative, at least that's a reasonable alternative for Russian players.
Yeah. Well, he clearly feels like he's ready for the NHL. Now, whether or not he actually is, I don't know. But he clearly feels that way. And look, we talked about this at the time. Like, for him, just purely approaching this from his situation, when you give UC Saros an 8-year deal, you have to know at that point that your future in the National Hockey League is not going to be with the Nashville Predators.
Of course.
If you're going to be a starting NHL goaltender, it's not going to be here. You just signed a guy to an 8-year deal. There's effectively 9 years now left with UC Saros when you factor in the 1 year left this year on his current contract. Then the 8 after that. And by the way, the first 6 of those 8 have a no-move clause. So he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the writing's on the wall. It's not surprising to me that Askarov wants out and wants to go somewhere else. I mean, we talked about that in the immediate aftermath. You know, I guess maybe I'm a little bit surprised that he has demanded a trade as quickly as he had and just seems to be not open at all to at least starting the year in Milwaukee and seeing how things go. But I can't say that I necessarily blame him either. Like, if he feels like he's ready to be an NHL player, then he feels like he's ready to be an NHL player. He may be wrong, like, and I guess we'll have to wait and see and find out as to whether or not he's right or wrong. But this is not necessarily unexpected. I would put it that way.
Obviously, what you'd like is for Askarov to say, okay, I'll show up at camp and I will be so good that you will have to consider me. And we've talked about, like, what might they do next year, right? Like, could get some spot starts, but still primarily be in Milwaukee.
Thing is, though, like, to me, if you're him too, like, Scott Wedgwood's a pretty good backup goalie. So
they like, basically, they did not really clear the lane for you to come in
right.
and be goalie too, like, which is Willie's plan.
I know they've said, you know, Barry Trotz said that he's going to leave the door open in training camp for Askarov to come in and compete. But, like, Wedgwood's an NHL goalie. It's not like they've signed some scrub out there that's, you know, a tweener.
What's Wedgwood getting this year? Do you remember off the top of your head?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility that Askarov could come in and be like, oh, my God, he's so much better than Wedgwood?
No, I don't think it's out of the – I mean, he signed a 2-year, $3 million deal, so one and a half per year. So,
but to your point, it's still not like – I mean, I think if you're him, you'd at least like, okay, great, then at least I'll get to play in the league. I'll get my 20-some starts, and then I will –
We can move from there.
Yeah, we move from there. I'm in the league, and then I'll go wherever I'm going to go, right, at the trading deadline or whatever it is.
Right.
Instead, it's like, well, you can come compete with this guy, and, you know, you're probably going to be in Milwaukee.
Right. But I think there are some people that, just based on the text that I'm seeing and some people on Twitter, that are seeing this from Kevin Winks that are, like, surprised by this. This does not register on my surprise scale of him requesting a trade.
No, the surprise scale is Willie saying that, you know, that he would be fine with years of apprenticeship.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe I'm being a little rough on Willie.
Willie, what are we doing?
Whenever we get a chance to rip someone else other than who we normally rip, it's just so refreshing, you know? I just have to take advantage of this opportunity.
So I guess now the question is Barry Trotz going to accommodate this request? Because I will say, it did not sound like, based on the reporting that's been around all this, it has never really sounded like Trotz has been in a hurry to do this. It's never sounded like he's been in a hurry to move on from Askarov. And I think still, like, from the Predators' point of view, he is still arguably your most valuable prospect. Now, he's a goalie, and trying to figure out a trade for a goalie, whether it's at the NHL level or a prospect, is just a different deal. You just don't see it happen a ton. But you can make the argument he's your best prospect. So you don't want to sell low on your best prospect, but he has now also come out and publicly said that he doesn't want to be a part of your organization anymore. So how do you handle that if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think you may have to just lower your expectations even more. You know, when it comes down to it, we've talked a lot, and look, at one point, I know you and I were both on the train of go with the future young guy and move Saros, the known commodity, and that obviously didn't happen. And now the Preds are loaded up here, and it's exciting, and the next couple years with Saros and everything they have is going to be super fascinating and potentially really good.
Yep.
But the all the talk that we had about, wow, what assets you have in these two goalies, you're going to get something big. It's not going to work out for you. It's not working out for you. So, look, Ryan in Nashville is saying this is a huge mistake by Trotz. You have a future franchise goalie that will be better than Saros, and he'll be gone. I mean, look, if we knew he was going to be better than Saros, then the decision would be different, I think.
Right.
Right? You don't know that. I mean, that you don't know that. But certainly he made his choice, and I just, yeah, I can't be shocked by this. I especially because I know it's a small sample size, but, like, when Askarov did get those spot starts, man, he didn't look out of place.
No.
I know that he
– the kid's going to be a good player.
He had the issues in the postseason. Sometimes he gets too emotional, all these things. Of course you'd like to, quote-unquote, overcook him like Trotz talks about, but the reality is what it is. And I bet you there are some teams out there who could see him in the crease this year for them in the NHL.
Yeah.
Now they're like, ooh, we can get him cheap.
Well, there's, you know, you brought up the KHL. Sure, you could play that card if you're him. I don't know that he really wants to do that. I mean, to me, if you're threatening the KHL card, you better actually be willing to go play in the KHL.
Yeah.
And is he actually willing to do that? Because, you know, first off, the political climate over there right now is something that you have to take in mind with that. Number two, we've seen it. I mean, they found out Askarov in the KHL was planning to come back over here to North America and play with the Predators, and they basically blackballed him.
Yeah.
They just left him on the bench. So you better be committed to playing over there or they're not going to play you, right? So, like, people are talking about the KHL card. You know, Chase just texted me about it too. I understand he could play that card, but to me, if you're him, you better be actually willing to go do it if that's the card you're going to play.
And if what we've seen from him is – accurate, I think he wants to be a star in the NHL.
I agree.
And I think he can be a star in the NHL and be a big personality in this league and all that stuff.
So is he going to be traded before, like, camp? Like, is Barry Trotz going to piece together a deal here with him, or is this going to linger into the season and we're going to have a Yaroslav Askarov holdout situation on our hand? I'm interested to see how that goes. Is he just not going to show up to camp?
A Yara standoff?
Yeah.
Okay, that's – no, I'm sorry.
We've got to work on that one.
Yeah, that didn't really work out. Texter, huge mistake by Trotz. Should have not signed Saros that long of a deal. Again, you're either signing to the deal, which is what it is, or you're not signing him. Like, there's no four-year deals in this situation.
Right.
Not to mention Saros has been on a decline, plus never won bleep in the playoffs. Well, the decline thing, you know, I don't know that I agree on the decline thing, but last year was overall his worst year. So, I mean, look, I signed up for Askarov before I said I would have done Askarov. What they've done now in adding around Saros and being ready to win right now, I can't argue with that. If I would have known that earlier, maybe I have a different answer. But now I look at this, and maybe I go back to my old answer.
615.
I'm mad with you, text line.
1025.
Let's be mad together.
Yaroslav Askarov, according to Kevin Winks, has apparently requested a trade from the Predators. We'll take your reaction to that, your reaction to all things Titans from over the weekend. We'll try to get to all of it. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Got a pair of tickets to give away to the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby X at First Horizon Park, coming up on Saturday, August 31st. Participants include Manny Ramirez, Andrew Jones, Nick Swisher, Pedro Alvarez, among others. So, should be a fun night out there at the ballpark.
Nice.
Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby X at First Horizon Park, coming up on Saturday, August the 31st. Also, check out Nashville's best deal of the week, Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. If you missed it, Kevin Weeks reporting that Yaroslav Askarov has requested a trade from the Nashville Predators and that he will not be reporting to AHL Milwaukee. So the latest news there. Lots of takes on the text line about that too.
The great Willie Donick Predators plan has failed.
Well, he's not traded yet.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Yaroslav, take a seat.
Oh, no. I was going to read this take, but it's disappeared from my screen.
I found it.
You found it? Read it. Read the take.
I got a text that says, great. Get Askarov out of here. a drama queen at this point in his career is not going to be anything other than a drama queen later, a distraction. Good riddance, diva. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Guy wants to play. God forbid a guy thinks he's good and wants to play hockey in his chosen profession. Now he's a diva. He's a problem. Thank goodness. Just like A.J. Brown. He's mad at John Robinson. Oh, what a distraction in the locker room. Get him out of here. Yeah, how'd that work out?
Yeah. Look, I have no idea if Yaroslav Askarov is going to turn out to be a good NHL goalie. I think he is. I think he's going to be a pretty good player. I think he's got a lot of tools that are really, really good. So we'll see if that ends up happening, and if so, where it is. But, clearly, I mean, like I said, the Predators chose this path when they signed Saros to an 8-year deal. As soon as they did that, you said that Askarov is not going to be your goalie moving forward.
And you were hoping that he'd be okay with the slow plan and eventually find a new home.
And clearly he's not. So, but now, again, he cannot be okay with it. And I'm still interested to see how Barry Trotz handles it. Because if the offers coming in for him are not up to par or not up to where Barry Trotz thinks they should be, like, how long are you willing to play this game if you're Barry Trotz in terms of letting this thing drag on into the season? Like, once push comes to shove, like, it's one thing to say I'm not showing up to camp now. Does he feel the same way in a month? Like, it's when push comes to shove, is Askarov actually not going to show up and report to Milwaukee? If he's not, well, then I think that expedites things a little bit. That becomes a pretty big problem.
What's the fining mechanism?
I don't know. This, quite frankly, doesn't happen a whole lot in the NHL, so I don't know. Yeah,
I feel like something will be worked out, right? Yeah. Look, without having any idea what is being offered by who or how many, I mean, I think Trotz, there's got to be a little bit of urgency to just end this, right?
You know who's got a ton of assets? Who could make a interesting offer for them? The Chicago Blackhawks. They got a ton of assets. I'm just saying. Can you imagine?
Hey.
Askarov being the future goalie of
imagine the
Hawks.
Takes. All these years of Askarov against Saros. Well, another team.
I mean, if their offer's good enough, don't you have to consider it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, another team that to me, I don't know about their asset situation necessarily, but the Red Wings badly need someone who looks like they might be able to be a professional goalie at some point.
Yep. I'm interested to see what this – like, is there anybody out there that looks at him and says he's NHL ready right now? And is that actually what Askarov wants, is to play in the NHL like full-time next year, or is this just to get out of here and get to a spot where the path to becoming a starter relatively soon is more realistic?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably – but I'm sure he has to be realistic enough to understand he's someone's backup right now, right? Like, but
– unless you're going to, like –
well,
San Jose.
Yeah, right. Well, like I said, I mean, he might be the best. I mean, he might start for the Red Wings right now. But I'm sure, obviously, it's like, would he be – here's a question. If this had not happened, and right now it was like, well, you know, Saros is still – you know, he's going in his last year, and maybe they'll trade or whatever, would Askarov then be like, okay, I'm fine, I'll go to Milwaukee and buy my time and see how it all plays out?
I think he would.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an indirect response to –
being told that you're not the future of the franchise.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You've been told that. And so you're like, okay, well, I want my future somewhere else to start right now.
Right. And we'll see if that actually happens. Jordan on YouTube throwing the question out there. Who's more likely to remain on the current team, Askarov or Narvison, the kicker for the Titans?
On Askarov-Narvison day on the program. If you have V
did
in
not have
name.
That one on the bingo card today.
Yeah. Askarvison?
It's not bad.
Well, this is also –
this practice squad,
you know, we've been ripping Willie. I want to rip Trotz just for a minute too. Trotz has done a really good job. But, like, he has had these comments like, oh, I've been in other teams where you had two goalies and all stuff. And it's just like, but that's not this situation. Yeah. How could it be this situation?
Well, and also, and I said this at the time, you know, he talked about Schneider and Luongo. He talked about Bishop and Vasilevskiy. And there are examples you can point to of two good goalies being on the same team at the same time. And eventually, one of them always moved.
Exactly, right.
They didn't stay very long because they said, nope, I can go be a starter somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
it's just so. Does he just take pennies on the dollar, so to speak, to end this? Or does he just, all right, let's see. Okay, let's see if he doesn't actually
and
show
he,
up.
If he does, that brings up a really interesting part of this too, because the way this offseason has gone down has changed everything with the franchise, right? Like, you've got Stamkos and Marchessault and everybody. I mean, there's going to be more anticipation about this year than almost any other year in the history of the Predators franchise based on who they've signed. And all that's great, and I think they have a chance to be pretty good. And then on the other side of it, like, looking at kind of digging through the weeds here, is what you've brought up. Like, you could conceivably get to the situation where you sign Saros to an 8-year deal, you didn't trade him, and you end up trading Askarov for way less than you thought maybe you could heading into all this, and the return that you got for trading one of those two assets is just really low. Like, what's the reaction to that if that happens at that point?
The reaction to that is, tell me how the team does the next couple of years.
Better go win. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If this all works out and you're great in the short term, then
who cares?
This is why you do things like that. If not, oh, the Askarov takes for so many years.
Yeah.
It'll be the AJ Brown of the Nashville Predators, wanting
him to go to Chicago?
I mean, that's juicy. Actually, Logan has the trade, definitely. Now, I can't believe I didn't think about this. Duh. Askarov to Colorado for Nathan McKinnon. Duh. Of course.
There you go.
Is that going to be Willie's plan today? Willie, what's your plan? I want to hear your plan, Willie.
You know, they really need somebody to play with Roman Josi so Brady Shea can be on that second pair. So just go get Makar.
Oh, yeah. If they got McKinnon and Makar and maybe threw in like a pick, right? Would that. Is that your plan, Willie? I got to stop. I know.
Willie!
I love you,
don't
Willie.
Stand for this.
I love Willie.
I do too. Interesting end of the show there with Askarov. I was glad to talk about something other than preseason football.
Askarvison.
Yes. That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.